Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat reporter for the Mercury News. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code Locked On for 20% off your next order. Got a great show to kick off the week. We have an update as to when the NBA season might start. I'll tell you who the Warriors' first call in free agency should be, and then I break down our fake trade of the day. Now, before we get to all of that, make sure to subscribe and tune in later this week. On Tuesday, Charles T. Hamilton and I will break down James Wiseman's potential fit with the Warriors. And then Warriors legend Rick Barry joins me on the show for Wednesday and Thursday to talk about a whole lot of things. So a lot of great stuff coming up this week.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
October 30th came and went, and we still don't have an agreement on when the next NBA season will start. That was supposed to be the deadline, but that deadline is very much artificial. It has been moved back already several times. The league's owners had been pushing the players to start next season on December 22nd. Adam Silver has said that he wants to provide 8 weeks of notice before the start of the next season, which is why they were hoping to come to a decision by last Friday. That would have given them 8 weeks between then and December 22nd. But if they wait another week, then 8 weeks would already go into the next year on January 8th. Now, the league doesn't have to give 8 weeks notice. They could still push for that Christmas Day start. They want that Christmas Day showcase. Several reports are saying that they can generate as much as $500 million in additional revenue by maintaining that Christmas Day signature showcase, but I was not and will not be surprised that the players continue to push back on this. Because these you could talk about these numbers and revenue, you could talk about what the owners want all the time, but if I'm the players, especially if I'm one of these players, these high-profile stars who were involved in the bubble, I have very little motivation to start next season on December 22nd, which is why when these reports first came out that the Board of Governors call that the owners decide, hey, you know what, we should push for December 22nd. These are the owners that want that. They don't have to play. They don't even have to show up to the game, okay? A lot of them never even went to the bubble. These players, and let's keep in mind, look, I know that the Warriors were not in the bubble, that they want to play as soon as possible. I get that, okay? But the rest of the league's stars, LeBron James, Giannis, Jimmy Butler, Kawhi Leonard, Anthony Davis, Nikola Jokic, they spent a long time in the bubble. Into September and October, they were playing in a quarantine environment. And what, you're going to give them 2 months off and interrupt their holidays just so that the owners can make an extra buck? Now, I understand that that money is divided between the owners and the players. I understand that. And now the owners are basically saying, hey, look, if you don't want to start on December 22nd, well, then just understand that you're going to make a lot less money. If I'm the players, I don't budge. I don't blink at that threat. Because it might be one, it'll be a short-sighted thing, I think, for the players at least, to agree to a December 22nd start. Because if I'm a player, I would be much more worried about injury risk that could hinder my long-term earning ability. I would be concerned about what this free agency would be. If you start this season on December 22nd, then you've got to start training camp at the beginning of December. And so under that timeline, you would have free agency and training camp basically running concurrently. And you would have restricted free agents unable to earn their maximum value, because when you are a team that makes a bid to a restricted free agent, that locks up your cap space for 48 hours. And if you have an abbreviated free agency where you're trying to restock your roster and get 15 guys under contract and get ready for the start of training camp a couple days later, you don't want to waste 48 hours when all these other free agents are getting picked off. And I think a lot of teams might value continuity over reshaping their entire roster. So if you're a free agent, if you're a veteran free agent this summer, then you might, or I should say this offseason, you should not expect to make as much money or to even get signed to a team. The longer free agency goes, the better chance other players have to get picked up. The more interviews you have, the further down the free agency boards these front offices go. So, if I'm a free agent to be, I have really no incentive to start the season sooner rather than later. If I'm a star player who went far in the postseason and spent September and some of October in the bubble, what reason do I have? What, you're going to threaten LeBron James by taking away some of his salary? What does he care? You can make that up with a Sprite deal right now. And yeah, maybe the Stars shouldn't make all the decisions, but they do. If you have any knock against the Players Association over the last several years, is that the players have a lot more power than what role players have. But even as role players, I would not want to start the season anytime soon if I'm a free agent. Now, the only players who I see that would want to start the season are those guys making $4 or $5 million. And if you abbreviate that season to 50 games or whatever, then that's going to be a substantially lower salary next year if they do indeed cut into player salaries, which we don't even know is a guarantee. I would imagine that that would happen, but that could be negotiated. Because as this deadline keeps moving back, and the deadline is to not only agree on the start of next season, but the entire CBA in general. So there's things that they can do to make sure that players hold on to most of their salary, if not all of it. And look, I understand that the owners have been hurt from this pandemic. I get it. I am not here to say that I don't care about that. Look, business is business, and you want these businesses to thrive. The NBA has been seeing nothing but growth over the last several years, and you don't want that to go away, right? The more money that the owners make, the more money that the players make, and everybody's happy. But everybody's been hurt by this pandemic. Everybody has made sacrifices in this pandemic. And if you're the owners, I'm not going to feel that bad for you. Because of everybody that's been hurt in this pandemic, they're the ones that can at least afford it, right? And the players. I think the players recognize that a little bit more than the owners. So for the league to come out and say, well, if we don't start the season on December 22nd, then it's going to have long-term financial effects on the rest of the league for a decade. Get out of here with that. Now, I haven't crunched the numbers. I'm not an accountant. But I've got to believe that that is an exaggeration. And you know what? If the league is hurt for 10 more years, so be it. The rest of this world is going to be hurt for the next 10 years. Businesses across America and across this world have been hurt for the next 10 years. People have gone out of business. The NBA is not going out of business, okay? So don't complain about the long-term financial fallout of this. Do what makes sense. Keep your players safe. Don't get greedy all of a sudden. The NBA, by and large, has been the most thoughtful, cautious, smartest run league in sports. Don't stop that now by trying to rush through free agency, trying to rush into a training camp, putting your players in harm's way just so that you can maintain this Christmas Day showcase. You want to make your TV partners happy by giving them 70 games? I get it. But if I'm a player and I get a vote on this players in the Players Association, I say the hell with the owners, the hell with your TV contracts and whatever. I'm worried about me, the player. Because without us, you have no NBA. So I'm sorry, ESPN, TNT, you'll figure it out. The owners, you'll figure it out. Everybody's going to figure this out, just like everybody has to. This is why I remain skeptical that this thing is going to start on December 22nd. Now, maybe it does. Maybe the threat of money works. But to me, that would be the only reason to start on December 22nd. And I just don't know that that's a good enough reason. Coming up, there's a clear number one target for who the Warriors should target in free agency. I'll tell you who that is next. But first, let's talk about Built Bar. If you're like me, when you get hungry, you can make bad decisions. But the best way to avoid blowing your diet is to be prepared. That's why I always have a box of Built Bars in the kitchen. Not only is this the best tasting protein bar I've ever had, it's the most healthy and it fills me up while I'm busy or I'm on the go. With 18 amazing flavors, including new ones like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, and apple almond crisp, Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate and soft and easy to chew. They taste like a candy bar, but they're low calorie and low sugar while also being high in protein and fiber, making them perfect for keto and other low carb diets. So go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off of your next order plus a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off your order at BuiltBar.com. Listen tomorrow to find out why James Wiseman would be the perfect fit for the Warriors in the draft if it weren't for one major flaw. But right now, I want to look at free agency and what the Warriors can do. They're going to have the mid-level exception available for them, which will be worth about $6 million. And they could use that, obviously, to upgrade the roster. Now, like they do with the draft, front offices around the league have free agent big boards, okay? So, like in the draft, you rank your top 10 prospects or whoever it is that you're targeting. Well, you do the same thing in free agency, and it's a little different, right? You're going to rank guys that you can get the mid-level exception. If you are like the Warriors and you have a trade exception, maybe you rank your trade targets. Maybe you just rank your trade targets in general that could be available with or without the trade exception. But then you obviously have just unrestricted free agents that you're going to be targeting. And for the Warriors, that list should be pretty large. I think that that should be a longer list. The free agent list is and will be a longer list than who they're targeting in this draft. Because the Warriors have the number two pick in the draft. They have a general idea of who is going to be available. Even if they trade back, they know the three or four guys that they would be trying to pick and how far they would be willing to trade back, right? So I think that the Warriors' big board by draft night might be like six, seven, eight guys, okay? And with probably a clear top two or three. But for free agency, it is so much harder to predict what's going to happen for the Warriors this year, right? The draft can go in any direction, but at number two, there's only so many things that can happen, right? At the end of the day, one guy is going to be off the board by the time the Warriors pick. In free agency, it can go any number of ways, right? First of all, we know that tampering is happening. We know that there's deals agreed to before the opening of free agency. And then when the opening of free agency happens, they are our first calls happening throughout the league. And terms might be agreed to relatively quickly, especially if they end up going with a faster offseason than what was originally planned. So the Warriors need to know exactly what they want to do when free agency begins. And I think with this mid-level exception that they're going to have available to them, I don't know that they are going to definitely use it. Now, with the mid-level exception, you can use it on one player, or you can break up the mid-level exception on two or three players or whatever you want to do. Now, I think that the Warriors should use it on one player. Because obviously with one player, you can get a more of an upgrade at one position than you can by splitting that thing up. And if I'm the Warriors, there's only really three guys that I would be willing to use the mid-level exception on. Because they are going to have to pay a substantial luxury tax if they use the MLE. And those three guys, I've already told you two of them on this show before. Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka. Those are obvious. But then Danilo Gallinari, who's going to be a free agent from the Thunder this offseason, said something interesting. He was asked whether or not he would be looking for money or looking to play for a contender. And he said he's made enough money already in his career and that he's ready to go ahead and play for a contender. Now, Gallinari's been in the league for a long time, since 2008. He's made $115 million over his career. So for him to say that he's made enough money, yeah, you have. I understand that wanting to play for a contender. Danilo Gallinari has not often gone far in the playoffs. He had 1 year, you know, in Denver. The Thunder made it to the playoffs last year. But he's never played in the NBA Finals, and it makes sense that he would want to. Well, the Warriors are going to be a contender. And there's only a handful of teams that make a lot of sense for Danilo Gallinari that have that mid-level exception. I would say it's the Warriors, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Miami Heat. Maybe you can argue Milwaukee or Philadelphia. But if I'm Gallinari, yeah, I've made $115 million in my career. I want to go play for a contender, even if it's a one-year deal. So Gallinari, 30 years old, he's 6'10", he averaged 18.7 points per game last year, shot 40.5% from three-point range, 5.2 rebounds per game, 1.9 assists per game. Not a great overall defender, doesn't really get a lot of blocks, despite him being 6'10". He's not a great rim protector, but he is at least 6'10", and he did play a little bit of small ball center last year in Oklahoma City, and has started to get a little bit better on that end with age, and I think the Warriors could use a lot from him. What the Warriors lost when Kevin Durant left for Brooklyn, Danilo Gallinari would do a decent impression of that. And Gallinari, by the way, is a borderline all-star level player. Kevin Durant is obviously one of the league's stars, one of the league's top five or six guys right now, depending on how he looks when he comes back from this injury. So if you've got a borderline all-star doing a decent impression of an MVP, a perennial MVP candidate, that's pretty good, especially if you get him at the mid-level exception. Now, one point worth making, the Warriors cannot use their trade exception on Gallinari unless they execute a sign-and-trade with the Thunder, which they won't do because that sign-and-trade would trigger a hard cap, and the Warriors are not going to deal with a hard cap 2 years in a row. So any questions about whether or not the Warriors could use the trade exception to target Gallinari, not going to happen. They're going to need to call him with the mid-level exception, and that is the argument that they make. To me, that's the first call. Marc Gasol would have made a lot of sense. Serge Ibaka would make a lot of sense. Those are my second and third calls. But Gallinari, to me, is the first call. Because he does provide scoring. He does provide length. He's younger than those guys. He plays more of a position of need and is going to get more minutes. You could bring him off the bench. But even if he comes off the bench, he's going to be the super six-man type like Andre Iguodala was, playing upwards of 20 minutes per game. And you can already see a small ball lineup of Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins, Danilo Gallinari, and Draymond Green. The Warriors need size badly. Gallinari could provide that to them. And everybody that I've talked about for that mid-level exception provide at least size. Marc Gasol, Serge Ibaka would be great fits, but Gallinari, if I'm Bob Myers, would be my first call when free agency begins. Coming up, I'll break down a fake trade idea that could fill Golden State's hole at center. This is Locked On Warriors. If you haven't already done so, now is a perfect time to hit that subscribe button to get episodes of Locked On Warriors every day. Let's get to our fake trade of the day. This one comes from Forrest Dunbar, who writes in, Andrew Wiggins in the number 2 pick to Philadelphia for Al Horford, Matisse Thybulle, and the 21st pick. Who says no? So I like that we're getting some 76ers trade ideas. Daryl Morey, of course, was hired as the president of basketball operations in Philadelphia over the weekend. And we know one thing about Daryl Morey, is that he is not afraid to make trades and to make trades quickly and to basically revamp a roster on the fly. We know that trades are happening in Philadelphia. And I think there's two guys that he's going to try to move right away. No, it's not Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. I think he's going to at least give that a shot until the trade deadline. But we know that he's probably going to try to move Al Horford, and he's probably going to try to move Tobias Harris. Now, of those two guys, Horford's probably the easiest one to move. I think Harris is probably the better player right now, but that contract is huge. He's making more than $30 million a year. Horford making like $27 million a year. Slightly more movable. And look, he had a down year in Philadelphia, but he was played out of position. It was just clunky the entire time. And there's a belief around the league that Al Horford is much better than what he was in Philadelphia last year. And Al Horford to the Warriors makes a lot of sense. He does everything that they would want. He's a smart, high IQ basketball player, good perimeter defender, can guard the rim, decent rebounder, can shoot the three ball, great passer at his position, would just fill an immediate need at center, be their starting center day one. He'd be a great fit for them. And his contract and Andrew Wiggins' contract basically match up. And Matisse Thybulle would be a nice addition too. One of the best wing defenders in the league already. He's only going into his second year. The problem here is that the reason why the Warriors would not do this trade is to go... They don't want to give up the number 2 pick. for somebody who is right now a role player in Al Horford and a nice young prospect in Matisse Thybulle, but who doesn't really have all-star potential. Thybulle's nice. He's a zero on offense. He's not much of a scorer. He doesn't create his own shot. And what the Warriors want to accomplish with this number two pick, they want to get a future all-star. They want to get somebody who can make multiple all-star games with this number two pick. That is what they have told me, and that is what they are going to try to do. This idea that they're going to use this number two pick to revamp the bench and fill out this roster around Steph and Klay and Draymond, that's not going to happen, guys. They have the trade exception if they want to use it. They have the mid-level exception. They trust that they can get the most out of free agents with the minimum contracts. Would you rather give up the number two pick and Andrew Wiggins for Al Horford, or would you rather just sign Marc Gasol, Serge Ibaka, Danilo Gallinari, Aaron Baines, Myers Leonard, Mason Plumlee, and keep the number two pick, and keep Andrew Wiggins, who fills a need for them at small forward? Yeah, I'd rather have that. You got to remember, it's all about opportunity cost with these trade ideas. Could you go out and, would Matisse Thybulle be a nice addition? Sure. Could you also go out and sign Andre Roberson at the minimum? Probably. So just do that. And to go from number two with the chance to take Anthony Edwards or James Wiseman or sleepers like Devin Vassell or Patrick Williams or Tyrese Halliburton, to go from that to the 21st pick, which doesn't have a great track record of success, and blowing your chance at a future all-star, the future face of the franchise, the Warriors are not willing to trade that far back. The Warriors probably aren't even trading back to the second half of the lottery. They want to stay in the mix in these top picks because this is a great opportunity in front of them. The only way they trade the number two pick is for a superstar player. Al Horford's good, but he's far from a superstar. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, and say nice things about the show. Thanks to Built Bar for sponsoring today's episode. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to me at wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and I'll see you here tomorrow morning.